Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
The best way to post fake news is for people to watch outlets like MSNBC, where you report real news all the time.
Yes, radical left-wing extremist Congressman Ted Lieu from California. That's how you combat fake news, with more fake news. MSDNC is the way to go. He went on MSDNC to suck up to them. That's how you combat fake news. With MSDNC, the fakest news of them all. I think he might be a communist. Remarkable. Now, we were just talking about the cannibals and, you know, creating a band. Barbecue and the Cannibals. Michael Piercy and I, Barbecue and the Cannibals, the band. And Anna suggests we should have coffee mugs and maybe T-shirts with Barbecue and the Cannibals on the coffee mugs. And the T-shirts, but it is a and then just bombarded with because we were taught. I said, "Well, there's a movie called The Fine Young Cannibals, an old movie called The Fine Young Cannibals." And I said, "I think talking to Nick, and said, yeah, I think there was a band called The Cannibals. There was The Animals, right? That Eric Burdon, I think, right? And The Animals, but then The Cannibals. And it turns out, yes, indeed, there are a couple of gets a little tricky because there was a British band." Called the Cannibals, and they had a bunch of albums, right? I mean, they had like seven albums or something, and they're British, England, London, the whole city. Cannibals, British rock band, formed in 1976, and they were first known as the Count Bishops. The Count Bishops, that's not a very good name. Then they changed their name to the Cannibals, and that's much better. They had a bunch of people, and they had they broke up and formed 25 different bands, but they had like 100 people playing the band over time, and they had a whole bunch of albums, I think like seven different albums that Cannibals did. You probably wouldn't recognize most of them, let's say, but I'm sure they had fun. And then there was another band called The Fine Young Cannibals, which was, again, the name of a movie from the, I think, the 1960s. And about polite society. But the Fine Young Cannibals had a couple of big hit songs. They had She Drives Me Crazy, right? She Drive Me Crazy, right? And what was the other one? They had Good Thing, Where Have You Gone, right? Good Thing, the Fine Young Cannibals. Not to be confused with The Cannibals, a different band, and not to be confused with the movie, The Fine Young Cannibals, because that's a different thing altogether. But, you know, cannibal, it's always been a fun idea, right? The cannibalism, you make fun of it most of the time in Western civilization. But when, you know, when the Democrats are in charge, we import cannibals from Haiti. And that's where we are. They like gang members. They like criminal enterprises from Chile, from Venezuela, from Haiti, Mexican drug cartels, all that good stuff, because they're not on our side. Yes, and it's all the Fine Young Cannibals with Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner. Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood, all the Fine Young Cannibals. So everybody likes the word cannibals. It's kind of fun to talk about cannibals. A lot of islands in the South Pacific in particular were known by British explorers to be cannibal islands, and they had to fight their way through the walls of human flesh, all the cannibals down there on the islands. Crazy stuff. And now the Democrats want to bring cannibalism here because, after all, New York City, according to the mayor there, Eric Adams, the New York City is the Port-au-Prince of America, which means that it naturally follows that Port-au-Prince is the New York City of Haiti. So we've got that. Lots of crazy stuff going on. I am telling you, your Democrat Party, they're making things better. And then because they enjoy information dominance, right? Information dominance, with the news media being their bootlicks, they get to turn their catastrophic failures into successes, because a lie told once remains a lie. A lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth, right? Amazing stuff. Yes, sir. Whack-a-doodle-doo. All right, we have many stories to get to, as you might imagine, because of the usual reasons. Amazing stuff. Yes, sir. And I do love all the crazy stuff. That they were talking yesterday about the professor at George Mason University that says that marriage perpetuates white supremacy, because that makes sense to a white woman who's a college professor. Madness. Completely crazy. These people. And let's get to a whole lot of things, because there are, let me go to the Gold Star father arrested during the State of the Union for disrupting Joe Biden's screaming bus stop speech. Should be called the bus stop speech, because normally when an old man yells like that for an hour and a half, he lives in a bus stop, has a shopping cart stuffed with other people's winter coats. But never mind that. The Gold Star father, who was arrested, finally had the charges against him dropped after the Republican members of Congress, many Republican members of Congress, objected and raised their voices a little bit and said, drop the charges, you clowns. You had somebody disrupt the Trump speech and he wasn't charged at all, wasn't threatened with jail. You just let him walk. So what the hell is wrong with the Capitol Police and the prosecutor in Washington, D.C., who's a radical left-wing pro-crime extremist, of course. So the New York Post has the story and the Washington Post doesn't. Charges dropped against Gold Star Dad arrested after heckling Biden at State of the Union. Charges against Gold Star Father arrested after heckling President Joe Biden during his State of the Union address were dropped Tuesday by Washington, D.C.'s Democratic Attorney General. Call him an Attorney General. We're not even a state. It's a big fake. Steve Nakui, 51 years old, was taken into custody by U.S. Capitol Police after he yelled, Abbey Gate and 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines, at Joe Biden, 81-year-old President of the United States. It sounded like this. You may remember the moment, even if you weren't watching in real time, because I was watching in real time, but it's my job. Most people weren't.
America is safer today than when I took office.
Lie.
Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history.
Democrats have to stop murdering people.
Through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I'm at.
Now, he's being dragged away by the police there, and they actually waved him out. He very politely walked out. He didn't have to be dragged out. But Steve Nakui was a guest of Republican Congressman Brian Mast, who knows a thing or two about combat zones himself, at the State of the Union address, seated in the gallery. When he shouted out he couldn't stand it anymore, Joe Biden lying about how he's made everybody safer, and his son was blown up in Afghanistan, one of 13 American service members killed by an ISIS suicide bomber outside of the Hamid Karzai International Airport, which is where they shouldn't have been, obviously should have been evacuating out of Bagram Air Base, which was secure, but the gang of morons, I got to tell you. So his son was Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, one of 13 Americans killed in that suicide attack. You know, about 170 Afghans were killed in that explosion. But the Democrats, you know, whatever. D.C. Attorney General Brian Schwalb, who is pro-criminal and pro-crime, Brian Schwalb's decision not to prosecute the Gold Star father was first reported by Fox News and not the Washington Post or the rest. But that is at long last good news. And we don't get an awful lot of that, but that was good news, because they're a lynch mob. They're an angry, crazy gang of lynch mobbers, as the Democrats have for so long been. And they wanted to lynch him because he's got a son that served in the Marine Corps. And then he disrupted their prophet of the day, and that is whoever they elect, because to them, government is God, and God is non-existent, and dog is their co-pilot. Keep in mind always that dog is their co-pilot. So we had that going on. Also yesterday on Capitol Hill, we had two former generals on Capitol Hill who were testifying before a House committee on the debacle, the catastrophe that was the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Again, we had Bagram Air Base safely outside of the city of Kabul and shouldn't have used Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul. That was a gigantic, disastrous mistake by our political leadership and our Defense Department leadership because Joe Biden and the whole gang. Now let's go to where's the audio on the from the hearing yesterday in our elaborate cut sheet, our extensive and elaborate cut sheet, because this was honestly it should have been a humiliation for Thoroughly Modern Milley, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and for the four-star general that was a commander of the U.S. Central Command at the time. Because it was a complete debacle. There is no question about it. And Thoroughly Modern Millie was there. And the former Sink Scent, I still use Sink because I like it better that way, the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Central Command. And boy, it was something to see. And also there was a crazy moment between a couple of Republican members of Congress that happened there as well. Now, there was a little bit of cursing. We have to bleep some of it. And so let's go to that number 13. This is Congressman Jared Moskowitz. Now the Democrats, some of them showed up for the hearing. Most of them didn't even bother to show up. And if they did, they showed up for a few minutes and then they left because they don't care about American lives. They're the left. They're not liberals. They're anti-American. They're the anti-Democratic Party, among other things. But let's go to Congressman Jared Moskowitz yesterday about mistakes that may have been made that led to this catastrophe. And then, of course, we turned the country over to the Taliban, and now it's a hotbed of ISIS plotters and so on. But here is Congressman Jared Moskowitz.
General Miller, do you think mistakes were made in either the planning phases, things that we thought were going to happen that didn't happen, or things on the ground that unfolded that we didn't plan for? You think mistakes were made in all of that thought process?
There's zero doubt in my mind there were mistakes made, and that's the point of the after-action reviews. Identify those mistakes and develop solutions to implement them in the future. And I think the fundamental mistake, fundamental flaw, was the timing of the State Department call of the NEO. I think that was too slow and too late. And that then caused a series of events that result in the very last couple of days.
Thanks for that very governmental description of how you botched everything and screwed everything up completely. The at the time, commander of the U.S. Central Command was General Kenneth McKenzie, and General McKenzie was on Capitol Hill yesterday, too. Hey, we had a plan, but it just didn't go real well.
They had a plan. Like I said, it's a requirement to have the plan.
It's one thing
to have the plan. It's the second thing to do the actual coordination on the plan, to talk about the specifics of execution. So having a plan is one thing, preparing the plan, vetting the plan, coordinating the plan with the people that are going to actually carry you out, the Department of Defense, that's another set of tasks completely.
Yeah. And that was too little, too late.
It was my judgment that it was far too little, far too late.
Was that your assessment, General Milley?
It was, and I would broaden it a little bit by saying it was a pretty consistent assessment by me and other members of the uniformed military, up to and including the Secretary, that the withdrawal of the military forces and the contractors and the NATO forces that went with it would ultimately lead, as I said in my opening statement, to a general collapse of the ANSF and the government.
Too little, too late. A bad plan. We had a plan, but then executing the plan... The plan was a really bad one, going to downtown Kabul and Hamid Karzai Airport. I recognized that minute one when the feed started coming out of Kabul. I'm like, why are you not at Bagram, which is giant and outside of the city and easily defended, and everything is up and running, and you know how it works there and where everything is, but at Hamid Karzai Airport, it's new turf and you're in the middle of the population. It was the stupidest thing ever. Just amazing. And we'll hear this back and forth between Daryl Issa, Republican congressman, and Mike McCall, Republican congressman, with a bit of cursing that took place in the hearing yesterday as well. We cleaned it up for you, though, you know, with the FCC rules and everything. You know that the best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier uses Oxy technology, which helps to quickly destroy a whole lot of different viruses, odors, mold, and so much more in the air at your home, your office. With thousands of five-star reviews online, you know it works like a champ. We have two at home myself. Any smell will vanish in just a few seconds when you turn the Thunderstorm on. Odors from litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, dirty diapers, even Michael Moore are no match for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. The powerful Thunderstorm sends out O3 molecules that seek out and help destroy odors. These molecules even go behind and underneath furniture. Nothing can hide from the Thunderstorm. And best of all, no filters to buy and replace, schedule, mail away for over and over again, saving you plenty of money and lots of hassle and scheduling. You can hold a Thunderstorm in your hand. They're only this big. They're great. Right now, you can save $200, too, on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. You get three units for under $200. You can put one in your basement, your teenager's room, your smelly uncle's room. Give one to somebody as a hint. They're great. Put one in your office. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the discount code CHRIS3, CHRIS, and the number 3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is CHRIS3. Yeah, a bit of a hearing yesterday, and it was kind of blasé. I think General McKenzie and Thoroughly Modern Millie wanted to get a little something off their chests. And maybe they did. Today is mailbag day also. We got the mailbag. Questions from you. Coming up, 888-630-9625. Hey, it's Chris Plant. Excited to tell you about our July 2024 Listener Sea Cruise. We'll be sailing around the British Isles, visiting Scotland and Ireland. Please join us. Visit ChrisPlantCruise.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
The Washington Post is very excited to announce that a lesbian has joined the Fourth Circuit Court. And she is the first lesbian to be joining the Fourth Circuit Court. Now, there are other lesbians on other circuit courts and other federal courts all over the place. But it's the first time a lesbian. She's not a lesbian of color, though. So that'll be another headline. The Washington Post at some point. She comes from the SEIU, radical left-wing labor lawyer, lesbian. And the Washington Post couldn't be more excited to see Nicole Berner joining the Fourth Circuit Court. Said, you know, hey, sure, there are lesbians on other federal circuit courts and other appeals courts. But never mind that, because this is the first lesbian. There are probably gay men on the court, but that doesn't matter. Eventually, our entire judiciary will be gay, and then it will be better, according to the Democrat Party. And then our military will be next. Little strange brew, strange brew. Look what's inside of you. We have the mailbag today. It's Mailbag Wednesday. At the Clinton House, it's hump day, and Hillary has to clear out of the house after waking up face down in a pool of her own dried vomit on the kitchen floor with an empty 1-gallon cardboard box of cheap New Zealand Chardonnay next to her, and the Secret Service shaking their heads once again. Poor Hillary, what might have been. She thinks it's not over, though. Joe Biden could still fall down a flight of stairs with a little help from Hillary's friends And she thinks, hey, they don't want Kamala. I could jump in. She's thinking about jumping in. We'll know it if she does. It'll shake the earth. All right, let's go to the mailbag because well, it's a hump day in the Clinton household, but it's mailbag day here at the Chris Plant Show. And let me start off with Dan Rader. Dan Rader, you know, like yeah, like he's a Raider, like the Quantrell's Raiders or something like that. But Dan jumps in with, if you were an ICE agent, a Customs Border Protection agent at the border, would you deport the Frito Bandito? Would you deport the Frito Bandito? And it's funny because Michael and I talked about this morning. And, you know, the Frito Bandito, one of the great cartoon, you know, advertising. If you got, okay, you know, Tony the Tiger on the cereal, the Frito Bandito was one of the greats. He played the guitar, very musical.
I am the Frito Bandito.
He's the Frito Bandito.
I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do.
He likes Fritos.
I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you.
You'll get them from you. See, that's the thing. And, Dan, you got to deport the Frito Bandito because he is an armed, mustachioed bandito with a gun in each hand and bandoleros of ammunition and a big sombrero. But there he is. I like, he likes Fritos. He'll take them from you. So he's a gang member. He's a Mexican criminal. And actually, he has to be expelled from the country. Although, I don't know if you saw this, a judge who is an Obama appointee actually approved illegal aliens having guns in the United States of America. Because an illegal alien was caught with a gun, and the Obama appointee judge said, well, the illegal alien has just as much of a Second Amendment right as you do because, you know, the Bill of Rights. And this Democrat judge ruled that illegal aliens have gun rights protected by the Second Amendment in the United States of America. See, we started talking about the Frito Bandito, and this is where we went because, you know, the news takes us where it takes us. But Fox News covered it. Judge rules illegal immigrants like the Frito Bandito have gun rights protected by Second Amendment. Decision on gun rights for illegal immigrants has divided Second Amendment community. There's a community with the Second Amendment, and it's divided. Of course, illegal aliens shouldn't be allowed to own guns. They're illegally in the country. Are you out of your mind? So let's get back to the mailbag. So Dan Rader asks, would you deport the Frito Bandito? And it's, the answer is hell yes. A, he's a bandito. Okay? And he's got that big mustache. And you never trust anybody with a mustache like that. And he's got a gun in each hand, like a Colt 45 in each hand. And he's got bandoleros of ammo going both ways across his chest. So, yeah, you kick out the Frito Bandito. The Bidens wouldn't, of course, because they'd say, si se puede way, and, you know, let's have breakfast tacos together. And we'll get to Joe Biden pandering the Hispanics. So, yes, deport the Frito Bandito, Dan Rader. Dan Rader also says, oh, and a follow-up cartoon question. When Bugs Bunny, so he just says when Bugs, but it's capitalized. We all know he's talking about, it's not Bugs Moran. We're talking about Bugs Bunny. When Bugs used to dress up as a woman to fool Elmer, and Fudd would eventually figure it out and start shooting. It's true, that happened on a number of occasions in Bugs Bunny cartoons. He should have been canceled for transphobia. Yeah, he says. And it's true, Bugs Bunny would occasionally dress up like a lady bunny. And Elmer Fudd would be, his eyes would pop out because, you know, he's a heterosexual hunter, and he would see Bugs Bunny dressed like a lady, and he would become very excited, Elmer Fudd would.
Yes, I would just love a duck dinner.
Love a duck dinner. And then, so you get the boing, and we don't even want to talk about that, but Elmer Fudd with his shotgun, and then he'd find out that Bugs was really a man dressed as a lady. This happens a lot in Thailand, actually, on the beaches of Phuket. and sometimes in downtown Washington, D.C. as well. And then Bugs would start shooting at, Elmer would start shooting at Bugs. And that is clearly an example of transphobia. So we got a couple. And also, Frito Bandito was one of the first advertising icons to be canceled by the left because they decided that the Frito Bandito was politically incorrect because he's a Mexican with guns and bandoleros and a big mustache, and he would sing about taking Fritos from you. So the left became upset about that many years ago, and they canceled the Frito Bandito. They should probably cancel Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny, too, because it's true that Elmer becomes excited when Bugs dresses as a lady. Then when he finds out that it's a man dressed as lady and he starts shooting, that is definitely transphobia by today's Democrat Party definition. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. James Edelman says, "Hey, Chris Plant, I know that you filled in for Rush Limbaugh, but did you get to meet him and have a conversation? Love the show," says Nice Love the Show from Dan Edelman. "I did sit in for Rush Limbaugh one time. And I didn't get fired or anything, but I sat in for, and Mr. Bo Snerdly, James Golden, contacted me, said, "Hey, how'd you like to kind of," and I went up to New York to do it from their studios in New York. And Mr. Bo Snerdly, the great James Golden, was my shepherd, and he's just great, and he helped me out. And I did the Rush Limbaugh show one time, and I did it from New York City. Now, James Golden, Mr. Bo Snerdly, called me shortly thereafter and said, "Hey, how'd you like to come back up and do it? In fact, we'd like to have you do it from time to time." And I said, "That would be great. That would be wonderful." The problem, and it wasn't really a terrible problem, is that in between time, my show had been syndicated by Cumulus. They announced that they would be syndicating my show, putting my show on many markets across the country. And at that point, my company, Cumulus, said, "Well, you can't, because it's a different company, Premiere and all that. So you can't go doing the show. It's like if you've got a late night show on NBC and ABC asks you to come over to do in their late night show, you can't do it." So that's what happened there. Now, did I meet Rush Limbaugh? Not the day that I sat in for Rush Limbaugh. He was off on vacation. Also, he did it from Florida and I did the show from New York. He occasionally did it from New York, but as infrequently as he could. And I did have occasion to meet Rush Limbaugh more than once in Washington, D.C. My best girl and I met Rush Limbaugh at a dinner and event in Washington, D.C., where Rush Limbaugh was being honored. And we met him a couple of times, Washington, D.C., at events, big events. But, you know, he probably wouldn't know me from Adam because, there are a lot of people in the room. And Rush Limbaugh, a lot of people wanted to talk to Rush Limbaugh. But thanks for the fun question. Jeff D'Amato. Oh, wait, it's not D'Amato. It's DiMario. DiMario. Jeff DiMario. Nice Italian name. "Do you have someone like an apprentice in mind to take over from you when you retire?" Retire? He says, "Clay and Buck are awesome, but no one can replace Rush. I know replacing you would be just as tall a task, if not an impossibility." Well, Jeff, and I apologize, DiMario, a great name. I have no intention of retiring. And now, if I won the lottery, I would retire. But unlike some people, I don't have millions and millions of dollars in the bank, and I don't have the wherewithal to retire. Let's start with that, okay? And secondly, I like doing a radio show every day and it's a lot of fun. And I get to follow the news and come in and do this and talk to nice people and do all this fun stuff. So I have no intention of retiring, although, that's not usually how it works. Usually you just get fired. But then I'll go start a podcast somewhere. Do I have someone in mind? I honestly, I'm not sure it would be my decision, but, there are many very talented talk radio hosts out there in America. And I would like to have discussions with management if I do decide to move on to retirement land, which is an interesting thought, but I don't see that happening anytime in the near future for very practical reasons, primarily. So, but I'll give that thought, Jeff, because I haven't really given it a lot of thought. You know, my friend Mike Opelka, childhood Catholic school pal, Mike Opelka, is my regular stunt double here. And he's great. But I don't think I'd have a lot of control over that anyway. Monty Musgrave says, Chris Plant, you constantly demonstrate good musical ear. A good musical ear. You demonstrate a good musical ear. It's true. The ability to match pitch and a good sense of rhythm. What is your musical background? Well, you know, it's just my white privilege, I think. I'm not sure. It's true. I don't play any instruments. And I don't really have a musical background of any kind. But my best girl can tell you that I'm constantly singing. I'm always singing. I was singing up a storm this morning at home. And I sing a lot. But I have no formal or official musical background of any kind. I love music, any kind of music. Those are song lyrics there. But I don't have any official background of any kind. I do sing a lot. I sing by myself in the car. I sing at home, whether I'm alone or where my best girl is there. And I just, I've always got a song going in my head. When I wake up, I've got a song going in my head, some random song. And I just like singing and singing. And I learned, my best girl and I had a great opportunity recently because of friends of ours. We had dinner with the daughter of Dean Martin, who is Dina Martin, and she's a professional singer too, and she's just great and wonderful. And she talked about growing up with Uncle Sammy and Uncle Frank, you know, Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. coming over to the house. And she said, you know, they taught me to sing, she said. And I said, well, they taught me to sing too. My mother played lots of Sinatra and Sammy and even Dean in the house. And I grew up in a great era of music. Just sang a lot, and I still sing a lot, but that's all. I'm not really good, but I give it a whack every now and then anyway. Fun question, though, Monty Musgrave. I love that. Great question. Michelle Peel asks the question, what is the most dangerous place you've been, and why did you go there? Well, you know, when I was with CNN, we got to go, and I was covering the Defense Department stuff. Bosnia was ongoing. The truth is, I went in and out of places either with, at that time, with defense secretaries who traveled with security and so on. But we go into Tuzla and Sarajevo and up into the hills over Sarajevo a bit. And there were still some snipers a little bit, not a lot. Things had toned down by the time that we were going in and out of there. But we went in and out of Bosnia. Plenty. And you know, I didn't feel in danger in Saudi Arabia when Iraq invaded Kuwait. I really didn't. But I stayed. By the time the Gulf War I actually started, I was back here at the Pentagon for that. But I did 3 months in Saudi Arabia during Operation Desert Shield, but not Desert Storm. I don't really think, you know, the truth is, I've been in more danger in Washington, D.C., and that's truth, and that's the truth. I used to do a lot of news stuff in Washington, D.C., crime stories. They'd have me do a lot of crime stories, and I'd, you know, police ride-alongs, which are not dangerous, but going out into, you know, with the, like transgender hooker stories. I did a couple of those when I was with CNN, pretty weird things. And, you know, D.C. and just being out in the streets of just living in D.C., probably more dangerous than Tuzla when I was going in and out of Bosnia, truth be told. And I never thought of it as being particularly, you know, dangerous. Flying jets off of aircraft carriers, people say, well, that's dangerous. Yeah, but that's not really a dangerous thing, I don't think. Falling out of airplanes, jumped out of 3 airplanes, but I don't consider that to be particularly dangerous either. If it goes wrong, it can go very wrong, but that's about that. And Sane Maryland 2 says, if you could interview anyone alive today, who would it be? Says, by the way, I'm Sane Maryland 2 because I called Hillary Clinton a bad name and they banned Sane Maryland 1 before Elon Musk took over. Now, who would I interview? Anybody today? You know, Donald Trump is always kind of the prize winner right now. And to broaden it out from there, I'd have to give that a lot of thought. And I haven't really had the opportunity to give a lot of thought. But, I think the easy answer is really Donald Trump because he does a lot of interviews, a lot of people, and I don't do interviews on my show very often. In fact, the last interview I did on my show was Donald Trump when he was president of the United States. And we went down to it's the White House complex, but the Eisenhower Executive Office Building next door to the White House to do the interview in the Indian Treaty Room, I believe, with President Trump. And I've got to say it would be President Trump again. But I really, and I'm, a, it's not that I don't, you know, I, when I was a news guy, I did interviews constantly, and I'm very good at interviewing people because I listen to what they're saying and I ask follow-up questions and stuff. But I don't do interviews on my show because I've only got 3 hours a day, and that's not enough, given that they give me 5 or 6 hours of content a day, the crazy people do. So my answer is going to be Donald Trump to that question. And that's the mailbag. That's the mailbag for the day. Would you deport the Frito Bandito? Hell yeah. He's an armed gang member threatening to take stuff from everybody. And is Elmer Fudd shooting at transgender Bugs Bunny? Is that transphobia? Yes. Yes, it is. But it's good old-fashioned transphobia, I think. You know, it's where transphobia ought to be. Kinda. That could be a long conversation. Now, Hunter Biden was supposed to show up on Capitol Hill today, but he didn't. And he should, of course, be arrested at the airport, put in handcuffs and leg restraints, as was the Trump White House official who reported to prison yesterday. But Hunter Biden's dad is the president of the United States, and they're very, very corrupt. So Peter Navarro may have reported to prison yesterday. But Hunter Biden, and the reason he reported prison is because he defied a congressional subpoena. Now, Hunter Biden has defied congressional subpoena. However, Biden business associate Tony Bobulinski showed up today. Hunter Biden is not there, but there's an empty chair next to Tony Bobulinski. And when he was asked to offer his opening statement, he started this way.
Should I allow Hunter to give his opening statement first?
Turning to the empty chair.
We'll, doesn't appear Mr. Biden showed up for his public hearing, so we'll recognize you, Mr. Bobulinski.
Yeah, now, you may remember Hunter Biden and his lawyer decided, well, we'll only appear before Congress in an open session and not in closed session. And there was a bit of wrangling. Finally, Hunter Biden showed up for a hearing in closed session, but they were demanding and pounding the table, we'll only do it. Why won't the Republicans let us appear in open session? Now, he's been subpoenaed. The news media keeps using the word invited to testify under oath in open session, and he didn't show up, which means that he has broken the same law that Peter Navarro broke, and Peter Navarro reported to prison yesterday for a 4-month sentence. Where's Hunter?
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.